We're holding on Kuf Mem Zayin Omud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We started learning yesterday about the dinim of Matnas Shchivra, where a person is on his deathbed and he's giving out various bequests. So far, the basic rule we said is that in the Mishnah, that if he gave everything away, then that if he gave everything away, then ein matnasa kayemis, then his matana is not valid if he recovers, because then we understand, as we discussed in the Gemara, we have an umdana, we have a strong reason to suppose that he wouldn't have done that if he knew he was going to recover. As opposed to if he left over anything for himself, then the matonis are valid, because then he knows he can't take it with him after he's gone anyway. So then we say that it wasn't because he's about to die, then it's just a regular matana, and therefore it's effective even if he does recover. So now continuing on the topic of matnas shchivmerah, Omer Rava Omer Rav Nachman. If a Shchiv Mara says that Pliny should live in this house, so he's not giving him the actual house, he's just giving him the rights to live in it. Or, for example, he says, Yerchopeni. Pliny, Peres Dekel Zeh, or he says that Pliny should eat the fruit of this palm tree. So Loi Omar Klum, what he said doesn't count for anything, because he's not, he can't be Makna something that doesn't have Mamash. In the case of the living over there, the living is an intangible thing. If he said, I'm giving you this house in order to live in, then that would be one thing. That's a valid thing. You can sell or you can give such a thing. But to say you have the right to live in this house, that right is not a tangible thing. As far as the fruit, then you have the problem. It's davar shaloi bala olam, that the fruit doesn't exist yet. There are Mefoshim who explain slightly differently that both of them are davar shaloi bala olam, whatever. The point is, it doesn't work. Ad sheyomer tnu bais zeh lepliny v'yodu bo, unless now, if the Shchiv Mara says, give this house to Pliny and let him live in it, meaning that he's giving him the house in order to live in. So that would be fine. Then it means he doesn't actually own the house itself. It just means that he owns the house insofar as he can live in it. Or tnu, or he says, give this palm tree to Pliny that he should eat its fruit, and that also works. So then that works. The basic rule, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, is the a matnas shchivmerah is powerful, but it can't be that much more powerful than a matnas bori. So a bori who were to say such a thing, let this person live in this house, that wouldn't be a valid matana for the same reason. It's not a tangible thing. So therefore, Shchiv Mara can't either. What a Shchiv Mara has the power is that we're saying that he says something and it's the equivalent of it being written in a shtar or a kinyan being done with it that a healthy person would do, but not to have a kind of statement that wouldn't work by a bori. Such a thing doesn't work by a Shchiv Mara either. There are Mefarshim who talk about that maybe you would still have. There's a concept that the Gemara mentions in a few places called mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, that there's a mitzvah to fulfill what the dead person wanted. Maybe at least you would have that, but at least as far as the actual hakna, that he should actually own it, then no. So the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, "Lememra the sover of Nachman." Does that mean that we can deduce from here that Rav Nachman holds milsa de isa b'bori isa b'shchiv merah? Only the type of hakna that would work by a healthy person works by a shchiv merah. So fine, a shchiv merah has the greater power that he can say it, and it's considered as though a kinyan was done. But nevertheless, it still has to be the type of thing that works by a bori. The less of a body, less of a shchiv merah, but something that doesn't apply to a healthy person, and a healthy person wouldn't be able to say, let this person live in this house and have that be binding. So therefore, that wouldn't work by a shchiv merah. The question is that so? V'ha'omer Rava Omer Rav Nachman, didn't Rava also tell us in the name of Rav Nachman, shchiv merah she'omer tnu halva'osa l'ploini, halva'osi l'ploini, that if a shchiv merah says, give the loan that's owed to me to somebody else, So that works. Halva also the ploini. Then that halva works, and it does go to ploini. Now we're talking about where it's a milva al peh, and such a thing wouldn't work by a bari because the milva itself is not something that exists right now. We always say milva lahitzah nitna, that a milva is something the money is going to be spent. So even if the guy hasn't spent it yet, it's considered as though it was already. So and you can only be makna something that actually exists. So if it's a milva b'shtar, then fine. You can give him the shtar, or you can do maimed shloshtan. But here, where you don't have here, where it's talking a milva al peh, then a healthy person wouldn't be able to do it. So Reb Nachman is saying that a shchiv menah could do it, showing that it's not the case that whenever you have something that can't be done by a body, it can't be done by a shchiv menah either. Now there are Tosfos discusses there are various possible ways, after all, that a healthy person would be able to be makna like that. He could be makna agav karka. We had a story much earlier in the Masechta involving a papa who had some money in a place far away from Bavel, and he sent a shliach to get it and was makna to him the money agav karka. Yav actually Tosfos points out that they discuss also earlier in the Masechta in connection with that story that there are two different girsois. Actually, according to one girsa, the papa was owed the money, which is exactly the same thing we're talking about over here, a halva. And he was able to be makne it. He was able to be makne it agav karka. He was makne it to his shliach using the threshold of his house. And once he's makne to him karka, then metaltlin go along with it. But the fact is that you still need that. You still need agav as opposed to over here. But to do it without agav wouldn't work. And the same way over here then. So it doesn't work without that by a body. Therefore, it can't work without that by a shchiv merah as well either. Then Tosfos points out, we're also going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, there's also a concept called Udisa. There's a concept called Udisa, where a person states in front of Edim that he owes somebody X amount of money. And that works, but here also the point is, there's no Udisa over here. He's not saying that, he's not saying that he admits that he owes that money. He's just saying give that money. So on the face of it, it doesn't work by a body. Here he's trying to say it as a lashon of matana here he's saying a lashon of matana or a lashon of yerusha. So therefore it's not the same as that either. And yet Reb Nachman is saying that it works. So you see, there is an example of somebody who can say something where it wouldn't work when it comes, where the same kind of thing wouldn't work by a body. So the Gemara answers, so for afagav the lesse by body. So even though such a thing doesn't work by a body. So the answer is, Rav Papa Omar, hoyover yorish yorsha. Rav Papa says, fine, but the fact is, though, that we see that if it was a matter of yorusha, then the yorish would be able to yarshin it. Even though it's a milva al peh, nevertheless, if he dies without giving a bequest to somebody else, then his yoshim, his children, or whoever it is, would yoshim that debt, and they would be entitled to collect it. So therefore, the Papa says, now since further on, the Gemara talks about the idea that a matna shchivra is considered to a certain extent like a yerusha, then therefore, whatever works by a yerusha works over here. So now by a Yerusha, it wouldn't work to say, for example, that Pliny will live in this house. It would have to be that he actually owns the house insofar at least as the rights that he can live in it. And same thing with a tree. So it doesn't work to say, let him live in this house, because by a Yerush, you don't have that either. But it does work to say that he should be able to collect this milva al peh that's owed to me, because that kind of thing you would have by a Yerush. Rav Acha Breider Rav Ika Amar Halva Isa Bebori. Rav Acha Breider Rav Ika says, actually, there is a perfectly good way that you could transfer a debt when it comes to a body. V'chid Rav Huna Amar Rav. Namely, as Rav Huna tells us in the name of Rav, De Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, which we learned a few days ago, Mona Li Biyadcha Tnehu Li Ploini. Reuven says to Shimon, the money that that you owe me, that I have in your possession, because you owe it to me, Tenehu LePliny, give it to Pliny. I'm transferring that debt to Levi, and now Levi will be able to collect from you. But Maimad Shloshdan, as long as all three of them are standing over there, Kona, then it works, and he's Kona. We learned a few days ago the Gemara had given this as an example of Hilchas Abloy Timer. It's almost a halacha without a reason. Not that there's not a reason at all. The reason is in order to streamline doing business. But the point is, the Chachamim made it. You should ask, why does it help? Why is it any more effective if all three of them are standing there than if not? Nevertheless, that's the halacha. The Chum made almost as though it's a halacha motion we see now that you can't question. So therefore, so we see there is a way, there is a perfectly good way for a body to transfer ownership of a debt, even a milval pair. So the Rashbam points out that the Gemara had explained that that works whether the money that's owed is a milva or whether it's a pikadin. So since we do see that there is a way for a body to be able to give over such a thing verbally, so the same way Shchiv Merah has the ability to give such a thing over verbally as well, and that doesn't violate Reb Nachman's rule. The Rashbam mentions, by the way, here's another thing. Back in Bava Metzia, we learned that if you want to transfer the ownership of coins to somebody else, you can't do it with Kenyan Chalifin. But there are other ways to transfer it. So you could hand it to him directly. So the same way, it will work by a Matnas Shchivmerah if he wants to give out coins. So now, the point is we have two answers over here. We have two answers in the Gemara over here. We have Rav Papa saying because it's a matter of Yerusha, and Rav Acha Breidir of Ikka saying because you have the ability of doing Maimad Shloshtan. So there is some discussion about what the Nafka Minas might be between these two, about what the Nafka Minas between these two reasons. The Ran brings something like this. We're going to talk about further in the Gemara on Omid Beis. We're going to talk about where one person gives the other one heir rights. So he's not giving him the house itself, for example, but he's giving him the rights. Let's say that he has a schus in the chotzer, for example, that he's able to build extensions out from the house that project over the chotzer. So now the question would be, is a shchiv merah able to give away such a thing? So if it's a matter of that you could yarshin such a thing. So therefore, according to the Papa's reason, such a thing would work. And the Shchiv Merah can say, I'm transferring the heir rights to Pliny, and he has the right to go build projections over the chotzer. Whereas according to Rav Acha Breidir of Ikka's reason, that wouldn't work because that's not something that you can do. That's not something that you can that you can do by a body. You can't sell the air rights by themselves, only together with karka. So that's one explanation of what the Nafka Mina is. The Ktsois gives another explanation that what happens if a person gives a matana and the recipient dies before he received it. We have the whole case over there of Acharecha, where he says, I'm giving you a matana, and after you're gone, then it should go to Pliny instead of it going to your Yoshin. So the Ktsois explains, if you go according to the Papa over here, that a matnas shchiv merah is basically another form of Yerusha, then it's fine. The same way as Yerusha can pass through a person even after he's dead, in most cases, the same way it would work over here with the matnas shchiv merah, as opposed to if we say, as Rav Acha Breidir of Ikka does, that it's not like a Yerusha, it's still like a matana, but it works only because whatever kind of matana works by a body, works by a shchiv merah, well then a matana can't be acquired after the guy dies. So that would be another nafkamina between the reasons. Then there's another thing also the Mordechai brings over here from an earlier Rishon, the Avi Osaf, that says another nafkamina would be the rule of Maimad Shloshtan that we're talking about over here to transfer the debt to a third party works only when it comes to a debt that's owed to him by a Jew, not where any of the parties involved is a goy. So uh, So therefore, so that would be another, that would be another nafka minna. So that would be another nafka minna over here. Whether you say that it, that that it, that it's a matter of Yerusha, in which case, then fine, you are able to, you are able, Yerusha will transfer a debt that's owed to him by a goy. The Yerush will be able to collect that debt eventually. But if it's a matter of if it's a matter of matana and it's a matter of it works because of maimed shloshtan, then that wouldn't work over here because a debt that's owed by a goy is not transferable through maimed shloshtan. Okay. So there's a number of nafkaminas on the subject. Okay. The Gemara continues. So now we have a question. What about if he gives the tree to one person and he gives the rights to the peiros to somebody else? So he gave the tree, he kept for himself the peiros, and he's saying he's makna the other, the peiros, to somebody else. So what's going on over here? What's the case? The Rashbam first says we're talking about a regular healthy person, and we're talking about that he's selling. He's selling a tree to one person. Can he reserve the rights to the fruit for himself? And what would be the din? The Rashbam says, then wait a second, what is this doing over here? More than 60 blot ago, back in the fifth parak of our Masechta, we learned all about the dinim of buying and selling trees and what's included and what's not included in terms of peiros and karka, whatever. If that's what we're talking about over here, then this piece of Gemara belongs over there. So therefore, the Rashbam says, necessarily, we have to say that we're still on the subject of Matnas Shechiv Merah, which is the subject of this part of the Perek. Now, the Mishnah had told us that if a Shechiv Merah gives away all of his nechosim, but keeps some of it for himself, then we said that the Matana is irrevocable even if he recovers. Because again, the idea is he wouldn't have been able to take those rights with him after he, after he's gone. So therefore, it means that he meant to give away everything else unconditionally. So now, the question would be, what about if he gave away only the tree and kept for and did not explicitly give away the rights to the peiros? Then what would we say that that's considered shiur? Would we say that that's considered that he left himself over something for him of karka, and therefore, that the gift is irrevocable, and therefore, would it mean that not when he gave the tree to somebody else, he. Even if he kept himself the rights to the peiros, that wouldn't be considered karka. So in other words, the question would basically boil down to this, that he didn't give away the rights to the peiros. Is that considered karka or not? Where there we would say it makes a difference, therefore, whether his gift is, whether his gift can be revoked when he recovers. That's all according to Rashbam. Then Tosfos brings another possibility that this next piece over here about this Dekel Echad or Peirois of Acher is going to talk about, it's going to be referring back to, we said that we started by saying that if the Shechiv Merah says Pliny should live in this house or he should eat the Peirois of this tree, then it doesn't work because we said it's a Dover Shalai Bala Olam and it's something intangible and so forth. So so Tosfos rather learns we are indeed talking about a matnas bari, but or a matnas chiv merah. It could be either way. It could be either one. But the point is that since we said, and Tosfos also points out, if it was a matnas chiv merah, then we have a sugya later on, which we're going to learn in the next couple of days. That's the shem that talks about what exactly is considered shir, what exactly is considered that the chiv merah left over for himself. That we should say that now the gift is irrevocable. And Tosfos also points out that the here that Rashbam is saying only if the Shechiv Merah leaves himself karka, do we say that his gift is irrevocable, but later on in the Gemara, it implies that even the same is true of Metaltlin. So Tosfos gives a whole different explanation that we're referring back to the Ri says, we're talking about, we said before that if a Shechiv Merah or a Bodhi for that matter says that Pliny should live in this house, then it doesn't work because the living is not a tangible thing. So now the question is, when he's giving the tree to the first person and he's giving the fruit to the second person, can we consider that space where the where the fruit is going to go is considered davar shelo bala olam, or do we say Or do we say that the owner of the tree actually gets those spaces on the tree as well, and therefore he ends up getting the fruit of them or not? So basically, it would be a continuation of that question of what's considered davar shelo bala olam or something intangible and what's not. So three different ways, in short, of explaining the question of the Gemara over here. An explanation that the Rashbam rejected, that we're talking about a regular sale. The Rashbam's preferred explanation that we're talking about a Shchivna. And then the question is, what's considered that he left over something for himself? And Tosfos' explanation that we're talking about is this considered Dovah Shloi Bol Olam? So the question is, Mishir Mokum Pei. So as again, Dekol La'echad Peiros of La'acher. He's given the tree to one person and reserved for himself the Peiros, and then he gave the Peiros to somebody else. Mahu, what would be the din? Mishir Mokum Pei. Do we say when he gave the tree to one person, he reserved for himself the space where the Peiros are going to grow later on, and therefore, so he still has a certain ownership of it, or according to Tosfos, the person that he gave the tree to has an ownership of that area, or doesn't have an ownership of that area, and therefore the Peiros will go to the second person. Or do we say that it's not considered that he left anything over? And therefore, that the entire tree goes to the recipient. And the Gemara continues: Im timtzaloy mal acher loy havishir. If you're going to answer that maybe when it comes to giving it to somebody else, it's not considered shir. So as soon as he gave the tree to the first person, he gave all of it. Which would mean then, in the case of a shchiv mera, it would mean that everything's given away and he hasn't reserved anything for himself, which means that the gift is revocable, that it can be revoked if he recovers. If you're going to say that that's the case when he gave the payrus to somebody else, and according to Tosfos, the point is, if you're going to say that the first person gets the entire tree and there's nothing left for the second person, well then, what about la'aksmei chutz mepayrus of mahu? What about if he reserved it not for somebody else, but what if he reserved it for himself without his payrus? Now you have the Bach points out that actually there are different gersois over here. There are different gersois. The Rashbam himself actually points out that there are two different gersois over here. The gersa shir la'atzma, if he left it over for himself, or you also have a girsa further on, chutz miperoi, not with the word la'atzme, but chutz miperois of mahu. What about if he said explicitly, I'm giving you the tree minus its peiros? So in any case, again, you have these various explanations of what exactly the scenario is. But again, the question is mahu. So on the one hand, he said that he's keeping it for himself, or he said chutz miperois. So if you have the girsa la'atzme, then it means that the question is, that if he's leaving for himself the rights to the Peiros, does that mean, in other words, that if the tree dries up and doesn't end up producing Peiros, then he's entitled to chop off the branches because he reserved the branches for himself, since that's where the fruit grows. The other girsa, chutz mepeiros av mahu, would be that if he's saying explicitly, it's one thing if he gives the tree and doesn't say anything about the payrus, and later on he wants to give the payrus to somebody else, then we can talk about maybe it means he reserved the space of the payrus, maybe not. But on the other hand, if he said to begin with explicitly, chutz mepeirosav, I'm giving it except for the payrus, then what would be the din? So we could say the reason he said chutz mepeirosav means that he meant to reserve something for himself, so that he could give to him, that he could keep for himself or give to somebody else, or maybe not. Amar Rava Amar Rav Nachman im timtzal. So the Gemara answers Amar Rava Amar Rav Nachman im timtzalayma deka la'echad peirosav la'acher. If you're going to say that in the first case, where he gave the tree to one person and the peiros to somebody else, if you're going to say loy havishi or mokum peiri, if you're going to say that that leaving over the space where the fruit is going to grow is not considered a shear, it's not considered that he left anything over, and it means that everything was given to the first recipient, then nevertheless dekel echad v'shir peiros of the fun of, but if he gave to the tree to one person or kept the peiros for himself, here again the Bach points out that you have a different girsa chutz mi peiros of that in the second question where he says I'm giving except for the peiros shir mokum peiri, then it means he is in fact keeping for himself the space where the fruit is going to grow, and therefore that would be considered shir. So therefore that would be considered in that case that he left something for himself. So therefore, in the case of a shchimra, it would mean, since he left over something for himself and it's related to karka, then it means that everything else is an irrevocable gift. And according to Tosfos, the point is that we're saying that he has the ability to be makne, that he has the ability to be makne those pay, that space of the payrus to somebody else is not considered dovah shaloi bala olam. And the same thing would be if he wants to, and then if he wants to keep it for himself, the same thing. My timer. Why is that? Continues Rab Nachman. Kol gabe nafshe ba'ayin yofa mishayir. Because when it comes to keeping for himself, then he would keep ba'ayin yofa. So now when he's keeping it for himself, then therefore we assume he wants to keep ba'ayin yofa, and therefore that he wants to keep that space for himself, and therefore it would follow the rule, and therefore we would say that he is able to keep it, and that's considered a valid thing, and it's not a davar shaloi b'olam. Again, you have the Bach deals with in some detail over here. Again, given the different explanations of the Rashbam and Tosfos in the sugya over here, then it comes out actually that the girsa that we have over here in the Gemara to a certain extent actually follows Tosfos's understanding. The girsa according to the Rashbam would not have those words, because we're not talking about, we are talking about keeping something for himself, but it's not a matter of ayin yofa. It's a matter of that we're saying because he kept something for himself, then therefore it's not a regular matnas shivra, and therefore it is revocable. In which case, according to that, then the Bach adds in several lines to the Gemara over here that would fit with the Rashbam's Girsa, that the Gemara compares it to a case involving Reb Zvid. So we'll learn if you look in Hagoyis HaBach Aleph, if you have it in front of you, then he continues. So this would follow, for example, what Reb Zvid says earlier in the Masechta. We learned back in the fourth parak, you had cases over there when you sell a house, what exactly is included. We said you didn't necessarily include the second floor, and we talked about various other dinim in that. So we had over there, now we said that if a person sells a house, so again, if a person sells a house, he didn't explicitly sell the second floor, but the Gemara had explained over there, you can have a case where he says, I'm selling the house, I'm a nascha diuta el yonish ali, on condition that the upper diuta, the upper story, or the upper rows of bricks still belong to me. And Omar, and Reb Zvid explained, Shem rotza lahotziba mot zizin, it means that he's reserving the right for himself, that if he wants to extend out ledges from that roof over the chotzer, motzi, then he's able to do that. Either the chotzer, he sold to somebody else, but nevertheless, so it means that he reserved for himself that right, because those stick out from the diurta hel yona. So in other words, the point is, given that when he sold the house anyway, that diurta hel yona is not included anyhow, then why would he specifically mention amanas on condition that the diurta hel yona shali would be in order that he's reserving for himself that right? So we see from that, kiven did yurta shire, since he kept for himself beferush, he said, I'm leaving for myself the upper part of the house, mokum zizin nami shire, that he kept for himself the space of where he could make ledges extend over, hochanami, the same thing over here, kiven to omo chutz mipeirosav, since he explicitly says, besides for the peiros, then it means mokum peiros shire, it means he's keeping for himself the space of the peiros, and therefore that means that he's kept something for himself. So all that, so we don't have that in the printed Gemara in front of us, but we have that in the Bach. That would follow the Rashbam's understanding of this piece over here that we're dealing over here with a matnas shchivra. And the question is, when is it considered that he left over something for himself, some rights to karka, then it would be, we compare it to that case of Reb Zvid, where he's also keeping for himself some rights of karka, namely the rights to build ledges out from the roof that are going to project over the chotzer. Meanwhile, according to Tosfos, we don't have that whole part in the Gemara, because according to Tosfos, the question is not so much, the question is not about a matnas shchivra, the question is about a matnas bori. Is there the possibility of excluding the space of the peiros, and it's not considered an intangible thing, or davar shaloi bala olam? So we don't need to compare it to Reb Zvid's case. We just say that he is able to, that he is able to say that I'm giving you the tree, but not the peiros. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Omelet of Abel of Ashi. So Rab Nachman had explained, in other words, that Rab Nachman had explained that yes, there is such a thing as leaving over the fruit for himself, and we do say that is considered a shiur. So now the Gemara brings that. Now the Gemara is going to bring, according to all Gersois, is going to bring that din about Yurtah Hal Yonah Shali. But it's going to be that we're going to say that Rab Nachman's din refers to that case. So here we have, according to the Bach's Girsa, which in turn reflects the understanding of Rashbam, the Gemara has already brought this just now in connection with Rav Nachman's din. So now the Gemara is going to say that that in fact we refer Rav Nachman's statement to something else that the Gemara mentions in that connection. So Amalei Rav Abel, Rav Ashi, Anan Ad Rav Shimon Lokesh Masninan Lo. We in Eretz Yisrael, which is where Rav Abel was from, we explain this. We gave a similar answer to Rav Nachman, but we referred it to something else, not to the point about a tree and its peiros, but rather about something that Rish Lokesh said in connection with these dinim of selling a house. When a person sells a house to somebody else. So we understand, in other words, says the Rashbam, that the whole question, to begin with, you and Bavel have been asking the question about where he said, Dekel Echad, a Peiros of Lacher, where he said, I'm giving the tree to one person and the Peiros to somebody else, and what if he wants to keep the Peiros for himself? So now Rav Abba says, in Eretz Yisrael, we learned the whole question and the whole answer as to be in connection with another din, namely the dinim about selling a house. Where a person sells a house to somebody else, and he says, I'm doing it on condition that the upper diurta, that the upper story of the house belongs to me. And again, he wouldn't have had to say that because by default it's going to belong to him because only the at the beginning of that perek on Daf Samach Aleph, the Gemara had, the Mishnah had said that if he sells the house, he's not automatically selling the aliyah with it. So then diurta yonah shaloi. So then it means the upper story is his. Not only that he can continue living there, but it also means that he has the right to build zizin, to build ledges that are going to stick out over the chotzer. So that was the din, similar to what we just brought from Reb Zvid. Tosfos actually earlier in the Masechta explains that the point is a little bit differently because, after all, Tosfos says, if you're talking about selling a chotzer over here, you can talk about whether you're reserving the right to have Zizin project over it or not. But if you're here, we're not talking about selling the chotzer, we're just talking about selling the house. So Tosfos explains rather what it means is that it means the other way around. If he's going to build a building in the chotzer and he wants to use the house to put one end of his zizim on there, then he's able to do that. He's reserving himself the right for that. The other person can't say, yeah, but that's putting more pressure on the wall and therefore makes it more likely to collapse. He can say, well, that's why I reserve the diurta helyona for myself, is that I have the right to do that. So he had said that, and sort of Abba continues, So now they had the question, so now you would have a similar question. What about if he's giving the house to one person and the diurta to the upper floor to another person? Me have a shir doesn't mean that the one to whom he's giving the diurta helyona, he's leaving him the rights to build those zizim or to use that end of the wall for his zizim, or not. So similar to the question that we had as far as the tree and the peiros, but again, Rav Abba is saying that that we learned the whole discussion in connection with building a house, or in connection with selling a house, rather. The imtim tzalema bayis la'echad, or diurta la'achad, lo have a shir, and if you're going to say that when he sells the house to one person, or gives the house, that Rashbam points out, here we're not talking about a shrivmara anymore, here we're talking about a bori, so if you're going to say that bayis la'echad, diurta la'achad, lo have a shir, if you're going to say that when he says the house goes to one person, and the diurta goes to another person, that's not considered a shir, it's not meaning that he's not that he's leaving for him the rights to build those ledges, then what about chutz midyur tamahu? What about if he explicitly says, I'm selling the house to I'm selling the lower floor to Pliny, except for the diur tahayona, means that he's leaving for that other person the right to build those zizin. So similar question as far as the house, as far as the tree and the peiros, but instead bringing it in the case of a house. Now one point is that before the Gemara had mentioned the case where he says chutz miperoisav, well, according to one girsa that the Gemara had mentioned where he says chutz miperoisav, but you can also say that there's a difference between if he says amanas before we had where he says amanas shadiyotehal yonishali, but here where he says chutz, then would it be Rish Lakish should talk about the case where he says amanas on condition that the diur tehal yona belongs to me? What about would chutz have the same force and also mean that he's reserving the right to build those zizim to the other person that he sold to, or maybe not? And again, if you say that not, that it wouldn't work with another person, what about if he's keeping it for himself? Would he have to say amanas, or was chutz good enough for that purpose? So then, Omer Rava, Omer Rav Nachman. So on that, then the Gemara brings that Rava says, and Rava answers in the name of Rav Nachman, similar to what we said before. Im tim tzaloyma bayis le'echod or yurta le'echod loy habishir. If you're going to say indeed that when he sells the house to one and the yurta to another, then he's not leaving over the rights to build the ledges. And in other words, that would be like I skipped a couple of words. Im tim tzalema bayis le'echod diur tel'acha loy havishir. If you're going to tell me that when he sells the house to one and the upper floor to somebody else loy havishir, then it wouldn't be considered a shir, and the entire thing belongs to the first buyer. Nevertheless, you would say chutz midiur to havishir. But if he explicitly says that I'm selling it to you except for the diyuta, then that would be a shear, namely that he's leaving him the right to build the ledges, namely following the opinion of Reb Zvid, where Reb Zvid had said that would be the point of reserving the diyuta helyona for himself, is that he's able to build those ledges. Alma de shear diyuta, makam zizin nami shear. Therefore, you see that if he explicitly said, so he doesn't even have to say almanas. If he says chutz, then that's good enough, and it leaves him the right to build the zizin. So therefore, hachanami kivendam chutz meperoisav makam perishir. The same way, returning to the original question about the tree, the same way when he says chutz meperoisav, then that means that he's reserving. That means that he's reserving for himself the space where the fruit is going to grow, and therefore that it means that he is able to keep the peiros for himself, which has its implications as far as shchiv mera and as far as bari, as the Rashbam and Tosfos had talked about before. The Marashal actually takes out these words, and that's why they're in parentheses, because ultimately the Gemara is saying these are two different lashonis. Whether we're talking about a tree or whether we're talking about a house, so there'd be no reason for the Gemara to say hochanami the same way over here. Let's go back to the case of the tree, because according to this, we're dealing with a whole separate lashon that Rab Abba had pointed out to Rab Ashi, and therefore it has nothing to do with the tree anymore. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amr Rabbi Yosef Aman Yumi, let's get back to Matnas Shchiv Merah. Amr Rabbi Yosef Aman Yumi, Amr Rabbi Nachman. Shchiv Merah Shekosav Kol Nechosav La'acherim. When a Shchiv Merah writes out this document that gives all of his Nechosim to other people. So again, we said the basic rule so far, we said, is that if he's giving away everything, then it gets revoked if he recovers because of the Umdana that we said before. And if he doesn't give away everything, then the gifts are still in effect, even if he recovers. So now, Rabbi Yosef Aman Yumi is telling us, we have to see in what way is he writing it. So im b'mechalek, if it means that he's if he's dividing it up, so he does intend to divide up all of his nechosim. So he's saying Reuven gets this part, Shimon gets that part, etc. So to begin with, when he starts dividing it up, he has his das that he's going to give away everything. Well then, mes konu kulon. So then, when he dies, all of them are koina, like any matnas shchivna. We don't need a kinyan. On the other hand, omar choyze b'kulon. But on the other hand, if he recovers, then all of them are going to be revoked because that's the usual rule with a matnas shchivna. But continues Rabbi Yosef Amanyumi, im benimlach, if on the other hand, it's more like he's thinking it over. He doesn't, to begin with, intend to give out all his nechosim. So for example, he starts saying that Reuven should get X and Shimon should get Y. And then like he pauses a little while and then he says, you know what, and Levi should get Z. So then we say mes konu kolon. We still say that if he dies, then they're all koin to them. But the difference would be, Omad, if he recovers ein chozer ela ba'achron, then he can only revoke the last one because at that point he hasn't left any nechosim for himself. So that would be the usual rule of a matnas shchivna. But with the first two, since he paused in between, showing that he's thinking it over, then those wouldn't be considered a matnas shchivna. Those would be considered more like those would be considered. Well, though they are a matnas shchivna, but they're not the kind where we say that they can be revoked when he died, because to begin with, he was leaving over some nechosim for himself. When he said Reuven should get such and such, and Shimon should get such and such, at that point, he still had nechosim left. And as we said in the Mishnah, in that case, when he recovers, he doesn't get any of it back, because that's considered an irrevocable gift. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef Aman Yumi is saying the same thing we would have over here, so if to begin with he said it all one after the other, Reuven gets this, Shimon gets this, Levi gets this, then fine, it means he's giving away all of his nechosim, and then we say all of it is revocable if he recovers. But we're saying that if he said Reuven should get this and Shimon should get this, and then a while later he says Levi should get this, then Reuven and Shimon's at the time he still had nechosim left, therefore those are irrevocable. So the Gemara asks why. The Duma Iyuni Kama Ayin Vahodu Yosef. Why? You can say that he's thinking it over. You can say that he's considering that the fact that he stopped between them, not because he changed his mind. He's just trying to think over what should I give to each one. He maybe did in fact intend to give all of them. Fine, he didn't say it one after the other, but it doesn't mean that he changed it like this. In other words, Rabbi Yosef Aman Yumi is assuming that it means he changed his mind. When he said Reuven this, Shimon that, and then later on he says Levi that, it means that originally he intended to keep the third part of the Nechosim for himself, and now he changes his mind and says, you know what, after all, let me give it to Levi. But why? Why don't we say that he was just thinking it over? He was turning over in his mind, what exactly, I do want to give away all my Nechosim, but what should I give to each one? And the answer is no. Some of the shchivna medik dayek v'hodo yohiv. No, because a shchivna generally is gonna think over carefully before what he wants to do, and then he's gonna start giving it out. So therefore, the fact that he didn't do that there was a pause between one and another means that it was nimlach, means that he changed his mind, and therefore that brings us to Rabbi Yosef Aman Yumi's din. So the Gemara continues. Here's another din. If a shchivna writes out all of his nechosim, all the nechosim that we know that he has, that is, and he writes it out to others, as far as we know, he didn't leave anything else for himself. But he recovers. Then he still can't revoke it. What do you mean? We said in the Mishnah that if he gives all his nechosim, he could, because Rab Acha b'Aman Yumi says chayshinan shemi yesh le nechosim. We do have to be concerned that he may have nechosim in another country. Therefore that would mean that he's kept himself something, and therefore it's a classic matnas shchivna b'miktzas. It would be, in other words, that he hasn't given away everything, but rather he's kept something for himself. So therefore, because of that, we would say that the gifts he already gave remain in the possession of the ones that he gave it to. Tosfos points out, we just said in the previous lines, we said that We said, why don't we, the Gemara had asked when he gave to some and then paused and then gave to the others. Why don't we say that maybe he was just thinking into it? And there, that would be, in other words, to be makel and say that he, and say that the other ones should, that and say that he should be able to get all of it back. But here the fact is, we're saying he gave away all of his nechosim that we know of, but nevertheless, we still have to be concerned that there is something else that he has that we don't know of. Well, the Gemara asks, "Vela masnisi de katoni leshiu kalka kolshu ein matnasa kayemes heichim ashkachas la." Well, then our Mishnah had said that if he didn't leave him over for himself any kalka, then the matana is not, and then the matana is not going to remain irrevocable. It's going to be revoked if he recovers heichim ashkachas la. Well, then how do you have such a scenario? If you're telling me there's always the concern that he may have nechosim somewhere else, then the din of our Mishnah would never happen. And the answer is Omer Abchama ba'omer kol nechosai, because you can say that the Mishnah is talking about where he says I'm giving all of my nechosim. So therefore, so in other words, till now we were talking about where he says individually, Reuven gets this field, Shimon gets that field, and so forth. So we have to be concerned that maybe aside from all the fields and whatnot that he gave out, there may be other things that he has someplace else in some other country. But when he explicitly says kol nechosai, that all of my nechosim should go to Pliny and Pliny, then it means no matter where they are. So therefore, he's not leaving anything over for himself. The Rashbam brings a girsa from Rabbeinu Hananel, kol nechosai elu hein, that he says all of these are my nechosim, but the Rashbam says that's not really you don't really need that. We're just talking about that he gave all of his nechosim, that he said all of my nechosim. Ma Bravashi says another answer could be where we have a chazaka that he doesn't have any nechosim anywhere else. Ordinarily, we would have to be concerned, as we said, that maybe he does. But now we're saying that now we're saying where we know by means of a chazaka. So Rabbi Nagershim explains, for example, you could say he has no nechosim in another country because he was never there. Then there are different rishonim. We'll talk about what kind of chazaka we're talking about. Are we talking about edim? Are we talking about just a chazaka? And then in fact an explanation from Shittel or Noda Lami that the other way around Mamuchzaklon means on the contrary, only when we have a chazaka that he has other nechasim that aren't over here, then we say we have to follow that chazaka. But otherwise, by default, we can assume that not, and that would be the case of our Mishnah. So Rishonim also discussed the question. I mean, after all, just because of a chashash like that he might have nechosim somewhere else, because of that, we're going to take away the property from the shrivna and assign it to the people he gave it to, and he can never get it back. What happened to Amotzi Mechavel Avaraya? So the Ramban and then the Rashba bring from the Ravid that we're talking about, that he says, for example, that he said I'm giving this field and this field, and then he says that I'm giving all that he summarizes and says I'm giving all the nechosim, I'm giving these two fields. So maybe he has nechosim someplace else that we don't know about. Otherwise, he would have just said kol nechosai, like the Gemara says. And then there's other discussions among Rishonim about other kinds of things like that. The fact is, the Rosh points out another point as well. After all, we do have, there was a Matana over here. There may have even been a Kinyan. We're just saying that there's an Umdana. On the other hand, we say, as we learned the other day, that we have a reasonable assumption that he wouldn't want to give it away unless he actually plans to die. But here, where we don't know if all of these are nechosim, then therefore, so the umdana is not so strong. So there are going to be cases, in short, where we're going to say that even though on the face of it he gave out all the nechosim of his that we know of, nevertheless, there may be cases where we say we do have to be concerned that he has nechosim someplace else, at least based on a possible chazaka or whatever, and then therefore we would say that it's only a matana b'miktzas, and the usual rules of matana b'miktzas would apply, as we learned in the Mishnah, that he wouldn't get them back even if he recovers. The Gemara asks, here's another question. What about he gave all of his nechosim to one person? Then he changes his mind about one part of it. And he says, you know what? I want to give part of that to somebody else. Now he is able to do that. The question is, does that amount to that once he changed his mind about one part of it, then that's considered that he's revoking the whole matana that he gave to the first one? So he would say, for example, I have three fields. I'm giving all three of them to Reuven. Then he rethinks it and he says, you know what? Actually, the north field I want to give to Shimon. So now, would we say that he's leaving the other two fields in Reuven's hands, and now the result is Reuven has two and Shimon has one? Or do we say that it would be that once he says that, then it means that he's taking away everything from Reuven, and it means that he's giving only that north field to Shimon, and everything else he's keeping for himself, and then it would be a matana b'mitzas. So the question is, have chazara b'kula or lo? Is that considered that he changed his mind about the whole matana, or is it only the one specific part that he mentioned? The Gemara says, Toshma, we learn in a Braisa. If he says, all my nechosim go to one person, and then he says, some of it goes to a second person, Sheni Kona, Rishon Lekona. So the second one is Kona, the second one is Kona completely, irrevocably, because that would be a matna, that would be a matana b'mitzas, Rishon Lekona, and the first one is not Kona. My la b'shemes. Aren't we talking about the Pashtos, where So the second one is going to be Kona regardless, because it's a matana b'mitzas. The first one, what we're saying, the first one is not Kona. My love, kishemes, wouldn't it mean where eventually the one who gave the bequests died? So we see, why is the first one not acquiring? Why does he not keep the part that the shrivmana left to him? Evidently, because chazara b'mitzas is chazara b'kuloi. So it means when he changes his mind and says, you know what, one part goes to Shimon, it means that he kept the rest of it for himself. So therefore, Reuven ends up with nothing. Shimon is going to end up with the one part that he was given, and that will be true whether the Shchiv Menah recovers or not. And the rest of it is going to go to the Shchiv Menah's Yerushim as usual. So if that's the case, then there's the answer. That Chazara B'Mikzas is a Chazara on the whole thing. But the Gemara says, Loi Kisha Omad. No, because the Braisa may be talking about where he recovered. So now the second one is Koina, because again it was Matana B'mitzas. The first one would have gotten all the Nechosim, but again it's a Matnas Shivra B'Kuloi where he recovered, and therefore now he's, as usual, then that's revoked once the Shivra recovered. And the Gemara says, Hochinam Mistabra. In fact, it's logical to understand the Braisa that way. Midkotani Sefer, because the next part of the Braisa continues, Miktsosin Lurishin Bakulan Lasheni, that if it was the other way around, if he gave some of them first to Reuven and then all the rest of them to Shimon, Rishin Kona Sheni Lekona, then the first one is Kona. Then the first one is Kona, the Miktsas that he received, and the second one is not Kona. So, if you're talking about that the whole Braisa is talking about where he recovered Mishum Hachi Cheni Lekona, that would explain why the second one is not Kona, because he got everything that remained, and therefore it was a Matnas Shchivra without anything left over, a Matnas Shchivra Bekuloi, and we've already said that such a thing is revoked when the Shchivra recovers. Eli Amit B'Shemes, but if you're going to say the Shchivra eventually died, Tavayu Liknu, why shouldn't both of them be acquiring their respective parts as Matnas Shchivra? So therefore, that shows that necessarily the Sefer is talking about where he recovered. So therefore, we should assume that the Reisha is also talking about where he recovered. So no proof about Chazara B'Mikzas, because we're talking about where he recovered, and therefore, so we don't know. Is it that when he gave all of it to Reuven and then took away part of it and gave it to Shimon, is it that Reuven has forfeited all of it? Or is it that he only forfeited the part that was given to Shimon? We don't really have a proof one way or the other, because the Braisa is not talking about where he eventually died. The Braisa is talking about where he recovered. Well, the Gemara continues. Fine, even if you're going to say the Braise is talking about where he recovered, still we could bring a proof from it. If you're going to say that when he revokes part of the gift, that when he changes his mind about part of the gift, it's considered that he took away all of it. And in other words, again, we would say therefore it means that he took away everything from Reuven. He gave one part to Shimon and he kept the rest for himself. That explains why at least the second one, the Shimon, who received some of the Nechasim, is Kona, because the Matnas Chib Rabbi Mitzas. Eli Amat Chazorah Mitzas Lehavi Chazorah Bekula. But Rabbi Yema says, if you're going to tell me that when he changes his mind about all of it, about part of it, it's not considered changing his mind about all of it. It means, in other words, that the rest of it, Reuven still keeps whatever he didn't take away from him, and Shimon gets whatever he gave to him, still, still you should consider that like where he's dividing it up. He's saying that Reuven gets this and Shimon gets that. And the result would be that neither one should be kona if he recovers, because when a shchiv merah recovers, then, and he gave away all of his nechosim, then everything gets revoked. The fact that the braisa is saying that the second one ends up being kona, that means that that shows that yes, chazara b'mitzas is chazara. And that explains. So therefore Reuven ends up with nothing. Shimon gets the one part that he gave him, and the Shimonah kept the rest for himself. And therefore, whether he dies or whether he recovers, Shimon is keeping that.
Why isn't Reuven getting the lul that he left him?
Because that's the thing. We're saying Chazara b'miktas might be considered Chazara. When he said, Reuven, you get everything, then he says, you know what, I'm taking one field that I gave to you and I'm giving it to Shimon. The question is, does that amount to that he's saying, I'm undoing all of the gift that I gave to Reuven, and now I'm saying Reuven gets nothing in the end. Shimon gets the one field. The rest I'm keeping for myself. That would be a matonas shchimerab. That would be a matonas shchimerab b'miktas. And the rule would be that Shimon keeps it whether the shchimerab recovers or not. So even though
he could say I'm taking the present I gave you, I'm giving it to Shimon, he's not saying that. He's saying I'm only taking one field away from you and giving it to Shimon. We say everything goes away.
Possibly that's one possibility. The other possibility is we're saying that no, he's leaving the rest of it in Reuven's hands and giving the rest to Shimon. But that's the thing, Rabbi Yemar is saying, given that the Braisa is saying that Shimon gets to keep it no matter what. Why? If we say that Reuven retains the part that wasn't taken away from him and Shimon gets the rest, the fact is the Shchiv Merah has given away everything. That's a matnas Shchiv Merah b'kula, and therefore it gets revoked if he recovers. Why are we saying that Shimon gets to keep it if he recovers?
They should both give it up. Okay.
They should both give it up because he recovered. Exactly. So the Gemara says, V'hilchasa, the bottom line halacha is as follows. Chazorah b'mitzas havi chazorah b'kola. When he changes his mind about part of it, then it is considered changing his mind about all of it. So therefore, in other words, again, if he says to Reuven, you get all of it, then he says, I'm taking one part and giving it to Shimon, then it means he's revoked the entire gift to Reuven. So Reuven ends up with nothing. Shimon gets the one part, and the Shchiv Merah has kept the rest for himself. And therefore, when he dies, it goes to his Yoshim, and Shimon will be able to keep his part, whether the Shchiv Merah dies or recovers, because then it's a matana b'mitzas. So we understand the Braisa as follows. So in the Reisha, where we said that, again, he gave to Reuven, then he said, I'm taking part of it and giving it to Shimon instead, then that means that, so in the Reisha, when we say that Reuven doesn't get anything and Shimon does, that would work whether he died or whether he recovered, because either way, Reuven is not getting anything because he revoked the gift to him. Shimon is keeping whatever he got because it's a matnas Shchiv Merah b'miktas, and therefore, whether the Shchiv Merah dies or not, then he gets to keep it. Safer, but in the safer way, you have the other way around, where to begin with, he said Reuven gets part of it and Shimon gets the rest of it. And there the Braisa had said that only Reuven is kona, Shimon is not. Then, as the Gemara had said before, that would work only when he recovered. So now the second one was a matnas Shchiv Merah b'kula, because he gave away everything that he still had left, and that's revocable when he recovers. Meanwhile, the first one would only be b'miktsas, and that one is irrevocable. But if he dies, then both of them are going to be kona, so the Braisa wouldn't be addressing that case. But yeah, the bottom line is the Gemara is saying that yes, if he said, Reuven, you're getting everything, and then he said, I'm taking one field and giving it to Shimon, then it means it's Chazorah Bekula, means he took away everything from Reuven and gave only part of it to Shimon and kept the rest for himself. If he had wanted Reuven to keep some of it, then he would have said explicitly, I'm giving one field to Shimon, but I'm leaving the rest of the fields in your hands, Reuven. All right, the Gemara asks, Iboilu, Hikdish kol nechosav v'omad mahu. So far, we've been talking about where he gave a matnas chimera and then he recovered. Where we said, again, the rule is as long as he gave away all of his nechosim, then the gift is revoked. And if he and if he gave away some of his nechosim, then the gift still stays intact, even if he recovers. What about hikdish kol nechosav v'omad mahu? What about if he was makdish all of his nechosim and then he recovered? What would be the din? Can he revoke that hektish? Mi amrinan kol gabe hektish gomer makni. Would we say when it comes to hektish, he means to be makdish absolutely, even if he recovers? Especially the Nemuka Yosef points out that to be makdish is a mitzvah. So maybe there would be more reason to say that he means that to be irrevocable even if he recovers. Or maybe not. After all, a person is concerned for himself. He doesn't want to leave himself without any nechosim. So maybe also with hektish, it was only on condition, that was only on the understanding that he's going to die. And therefore, since he didn't end up dying, then he should be able to revoke it. So that's one question. Another question, not hektish, but rather hefker? Hifker kol nechosav mahu. What about if he was mafker all of his nechosim? Mi aminen tivin de afla niyim kashirim. Now, hefker, by definition, means that it goes to everybody. Both it can be taken by poor or rich people. There's actually a machloikas in between Bishama and Bishilol and a Mishnah and Peya. Is it possible to declare something hefker only for the poor people? Bishama holds yes, Bishilol holds no. And as usual, the halacha is like Bishilol. So hefker is available for everybody, aniyim and ashirim. So therefore, it shows that he doesn't want it. It shows that he doesn't care for it anymore, and therefore he's willing. It's not even a matter of tzedakah or anything. He's willing to give it away. He's willing to give it away unconditionally. So even if he recovers, he doesn't get it back. Gomoro makni, therefore he would be makne it completely. Now, obviously, if nobody ends up taking it, he could take it back himself. But we're talking about if other people took it in between. Aduma kola gabi nafshan, the gomoro makni, or again, maybe it's since it's him himself involved, then if he's not irrevocably being mafkir it because he wants to reserve it for himself. In case he recovers. So the Rashbam mentions in the Rashbam mentions in this connection that the Rashbam gives two explanations. First one is kavanose l'shamayim. He means to give it away basically to Hashem. So not as hektish, but rather as hefker. Or you could say that it shows that he doesn't want to have hanah from it anymore. So there is an interesting point actually that maybe the Rashbam is implying that there's a mitzvah in hefker. And then the Yad Ramah says that actually no, the question is exactly that. There's no mitzvah to be mafkir, unlike there is a mitzvah to be makdish. So we could say that it's a little bit different. The Rambam, by the way, mentions that giving something away as hefker is tantamount to a neder, but a neder is there is a certain degree of mitzvah in a neder, but it's not something that you have a mitzvah to make a neder. If you made a neder, then you have to keep it. Anyway, another question would be, what about what about if he said that he's giving all of his nechosim away to the poor people? So then the question is, mi aminan tzedaka? Do we say that because with tzedaka that's involved over here, vade migma gomer makni? So then there's no question that he's thoroughly being makna. Or duma again, kol agame nafshale gomer makni. Again, when it comes to something involving him himself, he still wants to keep something for himself. So therefore, maybe he's not completely makna. And the Gemara says teiku. So all these three things are teiku. So you have different understandings among the Rishonim In particular, when it comes to the case of Hekdesh, do we say it's a matter of dinim mominis, and then we say amotzi mechaver l'raya, or do we say it's a matter of isur v'heter, and then we'd have to be machmir and give it to Hekdesh regardless, and you'd have a similar kind of question as far as the aniyim. Another version of the three questions is shorter. Hikdish kol nechasa mao, hifka kol nechasa mao, chilek kol nechasa lani and mahu. What about if he was makdish all of his nechasim? What if he was mafkur all of his nechasim? And what if he gave all of his nechasim to the poor people? So again, the answer would be teiku. So this lishna achrina is basically just a short form of the previous one. So in fact, those the words lishna achrina don't really belong over here. So it's just the Gemara brings a short version of the questions, and then it brings a longer version explaining the tzdodim of each one. In any case, the point is that we're saying teiku. So therefore, when it comes to most of these things, we would say. So when it comes to some of these things, we would say amotzi mechaver l'raya. But when it comes to the ones that are iser v'heter, then we would have to question whether maybe in the end, actually, the halacha is that we say so chozer b'kulon, and he can change his mind about all of them. Because we have reason to say, as the Gemara said, by each one of them, loy gomer kol legabe nafshe, loy gomer amakni, when it involves him himself, he's not going to want to give away all of his nechosim irrevocably. The pashtus is going to want to keep something for himself in case he recovers, and therefore all these things, the hektish and the tzedakah and everything, would be revocable if he does end up recovering. Okay. So the Gemara is going to continue. So we'll continue tomorrow with more of these dinim of matnas shkibmera and other things like that.
Interesting. Before the question, how you use Allah, it says Allah is like this and listen. Then after, the question is still there.
No, because we said two different things. The halacha was chazara b'miktas havi chazara b'kola. That was as far as where he gave nechasim to Reuven, and then he said, "I'm taking away one thing and giving it to Shimon." There we said a clear halacha. You were saying something else, where he said, "All of my nechasim should go to Hekdesh, or all of my nechasim should be Hefker, or all of my nechasim should go to Tzedakah." Do we
that's
say?
That's the part we're working on.
So that's the part. That's the part the Gemara had worked on. The last thing, and we said, "Teiku." Yeah.
Uh-huh.